smoothie.
Okay, so let's just get started. Okay, so fuck your unpaid internship. This is one of... wait, start a presentation. This was one of the more uncompromising slogans to find its way onto a sign at the peak of the Occupy movement. The placard remains a symbol of mounting frustration among young people facing increasingly bleak prospects in the labor market, and signals the growing disenchantment with contemporary labor conditions that require young workers to put in hours of unpaid labor time with no guarantee of future employment. Beyond this pithy placard, the case against unpaid internships has been well made over the past few years. We've heard a lot of the critiques. Critics argue that the expanding intern economy is contributing to high youth unemployment and soaring student debt, and that unpaid internships exploit young workers. Most unpaid internships, as Andrew's pointed out, are illegal, as interns do work that creates value for companies. In these cases, interns are actually misclassified employees and should be paid a minimum wage. And here's an example of a student asked me to be, or a former student, a reference for her. She's applying for internships, and she sent me the list. And, you know, scanning this, it seems quite clear from these job titles that these are jobs. These are not opportunities for training that will primarily benefit the intern. So these, you know, should all be considered paid jobs. Critics have argued that internships are replacing paid entry-level work. And this is not just speculation. Intern Aware, an intern activist group in the UK, recently filed a Freedom of Information request that showed that the government-funded British Film Institute hired 20 unpaid interns to replace a number of paid workers it had just laid off. The critique continues. Interns are denied access to labor protections and benefits that are extended to employees. Unpaid internships do not lead to jobs. There's a study that shows that paid internships are the positions that actually lead to paid employment. And the internship system reinforces classed, racialized, and gendered power relations, as only those who can afford to work for free, particularly those who can afford to work for free in major urban centers where some of the most sought-after internships are located, are going to make it in an intern economy. The critique of unpaid internships has been gaining traction in popular discourse recently, but not just because the mainstream media has picked up on a good story. Rather, the critique of unpaid internships as unfair and exploitative is circulating because interns and their allies have been fighting back. At the risk of losing a glowing reference or of damaging a much-needed reputation, young people are developing creative ways of critiquing and contributing to dismantling the increasingly intolerable internship system. Groups tackling internships have sprung up internationally over the past few years in Canada, the United States, France, Italy, the UK, and beyond. Their challenges to employers, educators, and legislators have been effective. Intern labor groups have successfully sued and lobbied for back wages, pressured educational institutions and private job boards to ban the posting of unpaid internships, and elevated their intern labor campaigns into an international spotlight. Today I'd like to talk about some of the ways that interns are fighting back and what this growing movement means for work in specifically the cultural and creative industries. I'm currently working on a collaborative project with Greg DePuter and Enda Brophy, where this research comes from, under the banner Cultural Workers Organize. Oh, there's our website. Which tracks how cultural workers in a much glamorized creative economy are responding to the spread and intensification of precarity. Not only are cultural industries still positioned as key sites of economic growth and investment, but they are primary sites of free labor, of unremunerated work in myriad forms, not least of which are unpaid internships. In cultural industries, large, profitable corporations trade on cultural workers' passions for their craft and desire for meaningful work in fields they have trained in. Companies exchange free labor for the elusive promise of a foot in the door in hyper-competitive industries where jobs are only secured with the right contacts, sparkling reputations, and requisite but very undefined industry experience. For aspiring media and cultural workers, career paths now consist of completing multiple internships before moving into the volatile freelance labor market. In the context of contemporary neoliberal cultural industries, internships serve as an entry point for inculcation into the new logics of work, where risk is embraced in the pursuit of autonomy, meaningful work, and career aspirations, and where flexibility and precarity are normalized. Interns receive training not only in specific work skills and industry practices, but also in the subjective experiences of being a worker under contemporary capitalism. Internships are where young and aspiring cultural workers are taught how to be self-reliant, how to operate as an individual, and where they are encouraged to develop the entrepreneurial spirit with which cultural labor and labor more generally has been imbued. The growing backlash against unpaid internships, however, demonstrates that internships, or at least the collective conversation about and actions against internships, may also provide space to practice solidarity and to raise awareness about labor rights, relations of exploitation, and the value of work. So in the rest of my time, I'd like to speak about four ways that interns and their allies are fighting against unpaid internships. Number one, legal challenges. In the past few years, dozens of lawsuits have been filed against companies by former interns who argue that they were in fact employees of these companies, doing menial but essential work, and are therefore entitled to minimum wage and overtime. The most high profile has been the Black Swan lawsuit, a class action lawsuit against Fox Searchlight Pictures led by Eric Glatt, who worked as an accounting clerk on the film. Glatt not only wanted the company to pay for violating minimum wage laws, but also to, quote, deter Fox Searchlight and other employers from continuing to engage in this toxic practice. Lawsuits have since been filed and some won or settled against Atlantic Records, Condé Nast, Gawker Media, Sony, Hearst, NBC Universal, and PBS's Charlie Rose Show, which recently paid out over $100,000 to former interns. These lawsuits and the publicity that they have attracted serve as important counters to rhetoric about getting a foot in the door or learning the ropes. The lawsuits acknowledge that unpaid internships are exploitative. The courts have been definitive on the fact that the tasks these interns performed benefited the employer primarily, not the intern. And the lawsuits will have lasting effects. These companies that I listed now pay their interns, reaffirming that interns are indeed misclassified employees and calling into question the title of intern entirely. In Canada, interns have filed complaints at the federal and provincial levels, including one against Bell Mobility's Professional Management Program, which Bell insists is a training program, but which has 300 unpaid interns working on tasks such as marketing and data analytics. Bell calls these interns associates and requires them to work full-time. The Canadian Intern Association is currently running a campaign to help interns like those who work for Bell to claim back pay in Ontario and British Columbia through detailed instructions on its website. If the cost of filings for back wages, lawsuits, settlements, and complaints threaten to exceed that of just simply paying interns minimum wage, it looks as if the industry's intern party might just wrap up before even arriving in a courtroom. Number two, publicity. Interns and their organizations have creatively and effectively mobilized social media as a tool for protesting unpaid internships. Critically, social media allows for anonymity, which is important to young workers whose future job prospects, especially in small industries, means they can't afford to put their names or reputations on the line. Many intern activist groups began as blogs or Facebook groups to rant about their experiences, and intern activists have relied heavily on the tactic of naming and shaming companies that advertise for unpaid internships. And Andrew has been very prolific in this practice. Perhaps you can... an example of one of his tweets, perhaps you can...
Would you like me to read it aloud?
There's many. but perhaps he can talk about how effective this has been and if he gets a response. So publicly addressing companies in the space corporations preserve for building positive relationships with consumers has proven to be a powerful tool. When companies advertise for unpaid interns, as Vancouver's luxury Fairmont Hotel and Facebook billionaire Sheryl Sandberg recently learned, the backlash on social media is swift and unrelenting, and many remove postings, repost positions as paid internships, and apologize. Gus Baker, founder of InternAware in the UK that I mentioned earlier, describes his tactic as creating mini-scandals that attract extensive media coverage. When his Freedom of Information request revealed that the British Film Institute was replacing paid workers with interns, Baker launched a campaign that ended with the Institute creating 50 paid internships and swearing off unpaid interns for good. The track record is working. When multinational grocer Tesco, one of the world's biggest retailers, advertised for an unpaid event management internship, it received a strongly worded email from Baker, pointing out the momentum and press coverage the organization had gained from its campaigns, and noting that it looked forward to briefing the press about Tesco's practices. Immediately, Tesco apologized, and the internship suddenly became paid. Those interns who are not intimidated by taking a public stand or using the resources required for their jobs, so the practices they're trained in, to create clever comics, posters, and even a magazine named simply Intern. Recently, interns at The Nation magazine wrote a letter to the editor of their own publication that was published, asking that interns be paid a living wage. The letter links the fact that most media interns are unpaid, despite working full-time while required to live in Manhattan, linking that to the lack of diverse voices in media, including those from the working class. Such public negotiations worked, and all Nation interns are now paid a minimum wage. A third tactic is producing narratives that puncture holes in the persistent win-win discourse about internships. The Carrot Workers Collective in the UK, for example, has produced a cheeky but useful counter-guide to free labour in the arts, whose content ranges from deconstructing an internship advertisement to a tool for self-mapping paid versus unpaid work. Many intern activist sites are primarily concerned with documenting and circulating interns' first-hand experiences, stitching together a critical narrative that can break the isolation felt by individuals and develop a collective critique. Blogs and tumblers like Who Pays Interns and Intern Anonymous catalog, to quote the latter, what the job market is like for our generation and give a voice to those who still don't feel listened to. The Canadian Internship Association has a wall of shame and a wall of fame on its website to spread the word about good and bad internships. And interns themselves are undertaking research. There's a survey out right now, rating placements and building databases to improve the conditions of internships. And finally, at a time when the trade union movement is concerned with attracting young members, interns past and present and their allies are coming together to form their own organizations and to engage in collective action, despite the challenges of organizing among such a fluid and ill-defined constituency. We've got recently the Canadian Intern Association formed, Intern Labor Rights, which grew out of a subgroup of Occupy Wall Street, their arts and labor group. The Fair Pay Campaign just launched a few weeks ago. The UN has an organization called UN Interns. And these groups, and there's many more, have been organizing with student unions to ban the listings of unpaid internships on campus. Critically, interns and unions in the UK are working in solidarity, a practice that will need to become much more widespread in Canada to effectively end unpaid internships. And the CWA program Catherine spoke about is an excellent example of what could be done. BECTU, the UK's media and entertainment union, helps intern aware with admin costs, office space, and support. And Unite the Union recently co-authored a report with InternAware about ending unpaid internships in the voluntary sector. The UK's National Union of Journalists ran a successful cashback for interns campaign, and the Trades Union Congress developed... The Trades Union Congress developed an app that interns can download onto their phone to calculate wages owed, to rate their internships, and to read the labour law about their rights. Fighting against unpaid internships may be what unites youth and unions, as the intern debate has pushed young workers to rally around issues that are at the heart of the labor movement, corporate exploitation, social protection, and, very currently, how to organize workers who are not in standard employment relationships. There's much work to be done, yet intern activist groups have made great headway with legal challenges, mobilizing public support, and pressuring politicians to at least address the issue of enforcing labor standards and minimum wage laws. In his proposed private members bill, the Urban Workers Bill, MP Andrew Cash has included a push to regulate internships federally and enforce existing laws in this country, thanks in no small part to pressure and advocacy from groups like the Canadian Intern Association. Beyond concrete action, the debate about unpaid internships has become an important entry point into broader discussions of the spread of precarious work, as well as a way for workers young and old to talk about exploitation, value, and work. This has been an especially crucial pressure point in the cultural industries. For unpaid internships are not an isolated issue. They're one of many forms of free labor flourishing in the most celebrated quarters of the creative industries. Citizen journalists contribute photos, articles, and commentary to large, profitable news organizations. Unpaid reality television participants replace paid actors on programs, and professional writers work for free for large, profitable corporations. The cumulative effect of serial internships and zero wages is the devaluation of labor, wage depression across the labor market, and the acclimatization of a generation of indebted workers to hustling from gig to gig with few expectations of their employers. Critically, intern labor activists are questioning this whole system from the bottom up, which is inspiring in an era when making connections on LinkedIn is often the closest one gets to collective action in the labor market. While intern labor activists' demands may be heard in the form of a simple ethical injunction, pay your interns, their message is much bigger than that. It's not personal failings, but systemic forces that make securing a meaningful, sustainable livelihood so elusive, and that if you want to make a change, you can't do it alone.